Hello everyone, welcome to Book Besties, the podcast. But before we get started on a new episode, go check out our link tree. It's always in the description. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back. So if you heard the last episode, you'll know that there's about to be a wedding in the village and it's a huge occasion. There are lots of preparations, lots of food being prepared for everything. So this time we're going to do part one of a wedding in the village. And part two of this chapter is actually very interesting. It's a short story and it builds up to the main plot of this whole book, The Magic of the Lost Temple. So you will need to listen to this episode and part two if you really want to understand the main plot of the story. Okay, let's start. The next day, Aji woke Nuni up early in the morning. She said, "Nuni, we have to go to Sarasu Aji's house today to help with the wedding preparations. There is a lot of work to be done. Get up and have a bath, eat your breakfast, and then we'll leave. You know, when the village did not have electricity, my family worked from sunrise to sunset to work the maximum that we could in the daylight hours. And that's how I got into the habit of getting up early and sleeping early too." Nuni yawned and stretched out her arms. "What work do you have for the wedding, Aji?" she asked sleepily. "We are going to help with laddus today and papads tomorrow. After that, we're going to make a lot of pickles for the wedding lunch. And of course, we'll make some extra to last us through the year." "Why are you making everything, Aji? Aren't there any sweet shops here? What about Haldiram's? In Bangalore, we always buy such things from MTR, Maya's or Haldiram's. Mom doesn't make laddus, pickles or papads at home." "My child, your mother works full time, and in the big city where the apartments are small, there's really no place to store an entire year's stock of pickles. So the best way to get things is by buying small jars from the market. But in the village, you don't have any such shops. And the truth is that we have fun making these goodies. Why do you want me to come with you then? What am I going to do there?" Nuni wondered. "Well, the ladies and I will do the main portion of the work, but you and the other children must help us by running a few errands," said Aji. "When your father was young, he also used to come and help me." Nuni nodded and went to the bathroom to get ready. When they reached Sarasu Aji's house, Nuni saw that the house was being whitewashed. She noticed that there were many children from the village. Everybody seemed busy. Some children were bringing ghee from the storeroom, some were busy washing plantain leaves in dabbas, and others were cleaning the veranda. Suddenly, she glanced to the side and saw heaps and heaps of laddus on the veranda. She had never seen so many laddus in her life. She saw Anand standing near the laddus and looking at them hungrily. She went and stood by him. He licked his lips and said dramatically, "Nuni, do you know how many laddus they make? There are 2 laddus for each adult and 3 for each child. On top of that, they make extras too. I'm so tempted to eat a few, but my mother will get so angry if she finds out." Nuni laughed. The wedding was a week away, so Aji and Nuni went to Sarasu Aji's house every single day. There were many people who kept trooping in from different villages and cities, and they all stayed till the wedding was over. Some even stayed in the house next to Ajay and Aji's home. Though Nuni didn't know many people, there were many girls of her age, and there was noise and fun throughout the day in Sarasu Aji's house. Many women volunteers kept coming in to help with some of the work. The back garden was converted into a makeshift kitchen. Breakfast and lunch were served at the house, and there was a constant supply of tea and snacks throughout the day. A shamiana was erected. There were big carpets and mats everywhere. At night, the men slept in the veranda while the women slept inside the house after discussing food, saris, and Sarasu Aji's lovely gifts. The children had much fun sleeping on the terrace under the stars. Nuni felt awkward at the informality of the people there. She recalled Vivek uncle's quiet wedding in Bangalore. It had taken place in a hotel and was very short, just about half a day and without many rituals. She also remembered a wedding that she had attended with her parents at the Bangalore Palace. The palace was completely lit and there were thousands of people walking about everywhere. There was a parking problem and a big line for the reception. There was plenty of food stalls, including chaat, Thai food, North Indian food, South Indian delicacies. People were more interested in eating the food than the actual ceremony. Unlike the happy wedding at Saraswaji's house, Vivek uncle's and the Bangalore Palace weddings were boring. Finally, the wedding day arrived. Aji wrapped herself in a best silk sari and Nuni wore a red blouse and a yellow silk lehenga with a red border. Aji gave her a necklace to wear, but Nuni didn't like it. Still, she wore it to make Aji happy. From morning till evening, Aja and Aji were busy with the wedding activities. Since they were old and respected in the village, everyone who attended the wedding came and touched their feet. Aji showed off Nuni to everyone. "This is my granddaughter Anushka," she said to whoever she met. "She has come from Bangalore to spend the summer with us." Nuni felt a little shy. The variety of food was definitely not as diverse as in Bangalore, but it was very tasty and traditional too. Lunch was served on plantain leaves. Sirasu Aji told all the women, "Please make sure you pick up a box of mithai from the table on your way out." After lunch, Aji went and stood at the table near the exit and Nuni became her assistant. Boxes of mithai were piled up on it. Aji held a silver bowl with kumkum and offered it to all the women, while Nuni handed a mithai box to the families as they made their way out. That night, when the trio returned home, nobody wanted to even eat because they had lunch at 4 in the afternoon. All three of them were very tired, so they went to bed early. "Aji, please tell me a story," Nuni insisted once the lights were off. "Nuni, I'm too tired. I'll tell you a story tomorrow. Come on, sleep." "No, Aji, I want to hear a story right now. Ever since I've come to the village, you haven't even told me one story," Nuni persisted. Aji got up and pulled the curtains aside. It was a full moon night and the moonlight came through the window into the room. "It's as if a magic lamp has been switched on," thought Nuni. "I don't see such bright moonlight in the city or in our house, Aji. How is the moon lit the entire bedroom?" "You live in an apartment and your bedroom faces another apartment complex and all the street lights are on in the night. Then how will you see the effect of the natural light in the city? Here we have very few street lights and there aren't even any high-rise buildings. My room faces the garden where there's open space and windows for the light to come in easily." "Ah, now I understand, Aji. Tell me a nice story about moonlight then. I know you have a story for every occasion," grinned Nuni. Aji smiled and said, "Of course, what I'm about to tell you happened 1,000 years ago in this very village. Now, if you want to hear the story about Somanaika, I think that's how you pronounce his name, so then you have to come back next week because part 2 of this chapter is the whole story, which I promise you is very interesting. Bye for now." I hope you enjoyed this episode, but before we go, do leave a review and follow or subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. Bye for now. My voice, your ears.